In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer thee all my prayers, works, and sufferings of this day, in union with the holy sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world, for the wants of Holy Church, and for the conversion of sinners. Amen. That little prayer is on page 87, because we're now in Lesson 13 in the Catechism. And it's an example of a morning offering, which we've already talked about, but I certainly hope that you're doing that, trying to acquire that habit of making a morning offering every day. When you pray, we need an intention. All of us, when we pray, need an intention, and there are two different kinds. First is a virtual intention. And this means that we're concentrating on every word, paying attention to every notion, trying to say the words correctly, fighting distraction, trying to say it as perfectly as possible. And that is how we should pray. But, as St. Thomas Aquinas says, I think with a little sense of humor here, since no one can really do this, he says, we need a habitual intention. That is, to make a good intention when we begin a work as best as we can. And then, if we drift off and the mind spins off to think or imagine different things and we get lost and aren't really sure of our place, if you have a good habitual intention, it's much easier to go back, to recollect oneself, and get back to prayer. The morning offering is a perfect example of a habitual intention. So we're on Lesson 13, which is on the communion of saints and the forgiveness of sins. And it's this part in the Apostles' Creed that so goes, I believe in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins. What is meant by the communion of saints in the Apostles' Creed? By the communion of saints is meant the union of the faithful on earth, the blessed in heaven, and the souls in purgatory with Christ as their head. It is an act of union, a sharing of spiritual goods among the members of the mystical body. And there's a drawing there on page 84 of the communion of saints. It's with a house, shows an old steam heat system, where the furnace, where the heat comes from, is Christ, and the members of the church are the radiators. Going back to what it says in question 170, it is an active union, a sharing of spiritual goods among the members of the mystical body. It is something like the circulation of blood in the body, or the circulation of steam in the heating system of a house. Grace and the virtues belonging to each one of us personally, just as steam belongs to each individual radiator, but, in a certain manner, we can share them with others and influence others by them without losing them ourselves. The heat of each radiator helps all the other radiators. It's a good analogy there. In the communion of saints, each one of us either helps or hinders the circulation of spiritual life among the members of the mystical body by the strength or weakness of our love of God. The word saints, in the expression communion of saints, means holy ones. We are all made holy by our baptism, although only the saints in heaven have reached perfect holiness. The word saint is from the Latin word sanctus, and it means holy. And we find it used several ways in the Bible, especially in the New Testament. One way is simply to refer to those who are baptized. So sometimes St. Paul in his letters will say, to the saints in Macedonia, meaning those who have been baptized, which that's a great sacrament to make one holy. Sometimes he uses it as simply as someone who belongs to the church or is a member of the church. And another way to use it is for those who are very holy, or if you will, surpassingly holy. And this is the normal way in which we use the word saint, which is why at the end there it says the saints in heaven who have reached perfect holiness. And that is a degree, hopefully, that everybody listening to this might someday have. An ST before your name. The degrees before the name are actually normally more important than the degrees that follow the name, degrees such as a PhD. The ones before the name, such as an ST for saint, or a BL for blessed, or a VEN for venerable, oh, there's a degree to strive for. Notice the phrase beneath the cartoon that says, we can either help or hinder the circulation of the spiritual life. Grace needs, if you will, a conduit. And you can become that conduit with baptism, but clog the conduit with sin. Serious sin clogs the conduit all the way. Slight sin does so partially, so that only a little heat gets through. Please God, we can live our lives in such a way with not even slight sin. Heaven knows the world needs such conduits. Question 171. Through the communion of saints, what can the blessed in heaven do for the souls in purgatory and the faithful on earth? Through the communion of saints, the blessed in heaven can help the souls in purgatory and the faithful on earth by praying for them. In question 71, by praying for them, or offering up, that simply means intentionally saying a prayer or offering some sacrifice for them. And to offer a sacrifice, that might, you can offer all kinds of things if they are morally good, or even morally neutral, if you will. That is, driving around here in Denver, it's not an easy thing. It's very tempting to be angry, impatient, whatnot. And so to offer up the difficulty of the driving and deliberately go out of one's way to use the driving as an occasion to love one's neighbor, that is backing off, driving the very opposite of aggressively, allowing someone to get in, anticipating the need of some driver to shift lanes and then allowing them to do so and waving, that kind of thing. Changes the way one drives. And you can offer that up for the poor souls. Question 172. Should the faithful on earth, through the communion of saints, honor the blessed in heaven and pray to them? The faithful on earth, through the communion of saints, should honor the blessed in heaven and pray to them, because they are worthy of honor, and as friends of God, will help the faithful on earth. Just as the saints, and that's a good description of a saint, the friends of God, just as the friends of God or the saints can help us now, could you please pray for me, so can they in heaven. St. John the Baptist made straight the paths to the Lord, and he lost his head was cut off, but he never lost his job. He still has it. He is the precursor, the one who maketh straight the paths to the Lord. So it's good to pray to him, asking for his help to get to Christ, just like he did help so many to get to Christ here on earth. There's a passage in the Bible, it can be found in the Gospel of St. Luke, about four friends. They had a buddy of theirs who was paralyzed, sick on a mat. And our good Lord was preaching at St. Peter's house once. They try to get through the crowd to get their friend to our Lord to so that Christ could heal their friend and couldn't make it through the crowd. So they went around back, got up on the roof of St. Peter's house, pulled off the tiles, lowered their friend with ropes to Christ. And in that remarkable event, it says, of our Lord, seeing their faith, he said to the man, pick up your mat and walk. So seeing their faith, the ones who helped the guy on the mat, well, that, in short, that's the intercession of saints. That's how they work. It's right in the Bible, even though the phrase intercession of the saints cannot be found. But in that passage, you have a whole doctrine of how we can help those in need by our prayers.